Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 14th of February 2010. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Tim is looking at another part of the jigsaw. This time, it's pastors. So let's go and join him and Andy as they're praying before Tim starts the sermon.
I'm thrilled, so grateful to Tim for this series that he's doing for us. Do you want to stand? And it's wonderful because I know it's sort of started so many conversations we pick up as we go through. So thank you, Tim, for what you're sharing with us and the way that you do it so graciously and beautifully. I mean that very much. Shall we pray for Tim and for ourselves? Lord, one of the reasons we know we can trust you is because as we read your word, you are revealed as utterly trustworthy. We don't always understand your ways, Lord, but you are always true to your word and trustworthy. And because of that, Lord, we love your word. And we just love the way that your words can be taught to us. We thank you so much for Tim and for calling him amongst us and for this series that he's taking us through. And Lord, we pray for him as he speaks to us this morning, as we read your word and hear it explained and expounded. Lord, oh, that we would have open hearts and open minds, that we would become more and more people in your image, people as you've made us to be, not as the world has fashioned us to be. So Lord, we bless you for your word, we bless you for your servant here, and we pray today we have open hearts and open minds to receive your word. For the glory of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Well, we're continuing this morning thinking about some of the roles which are described in Ephesians. And we'll come on to the idea of pastor in a moment or two. But we're really coming towards the end of this little series that we've been thinking about, these five basic roles which God has given to us as a gift to the church. And I'm very conscious it's an interesting sort of exercise at the moment because we're looking at spiritual gifts in the small groups of the church, and then here we are on a Sunday thinking about roles and ministries, which sort of, you know, it seems slightly different. And what I don't want you to feel is that in any way any of us are sort of getting pushed into a certain shape box. That's not the idea. The whole focus of this is to explore the calling that God places on our lives and what he is communicating to each of us. And hopefully we're going to be coming to a point of freedom in this, not feeling that we're being sort of forced into a certain style or a certain role for life and all those sort of things, but recognising that God has got a purpose and a direction and a focus for us to have in our own walk with him and as a church. And it's been fun because from chatting to different people, you know, some people are actually feeling quite a confirmation of who they are in God's plans as we've been going through this little series. But I have to say a few others are still scratching their heads and saying, I haven't got a clue where I fit in yet. Well, hopefully today will be another step in sort of opening thoughts up and thinking about where perhaps God wants us to be making a difference. And it's really about making real the words from Ephesians which introduce the passage we've been thinking of over these last few weeks. And would you like to read it through with me? We are one body. We have been called to the same glorious future. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And there is only one God, our Father, who is over us all and in us all and living through us all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. And the passage in the version that we're using this morning, you notice I've given you several versions of the passage because I didn't want you to get too complacent with one. The passage we're thinking of is this one. Let's continue and read this through. He is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Just a little bit more. Until we come to such a unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. How many of you feel you're in the full measure of the stature of Christ this morning? That's good, because we recognise we've got more to learn. And also, within that, we recognise that we need one another in order to be brought into that fullness. Now, last time in our series, we introduced one way of helping us to identify our call to one of these roles through our personality type. And being an extrovert or being an introvert might indicate a natural disposition towards a specific role, a specific way of serving God. But let's be honest, most of us are not wholly an extrovert or wholly an introvert. It's true, isn't it? Most of us are somewhere on this line. And depending on the situation that we're facing, we might find ourselves tending towards one end or the other. But generally, in a broad sense, most of us recognise that we are heading towards one of these directions in our personality. Well, today we're going to introduce another line, okay? And this line might help us to further pin down the unique God-given character that indicates our calling. Okay? Now, we're going a bit Wild West this morning, all right? And it's about working through whether we tend to be in our character more of a pioneer or a settler. A pioneer or a settler. So let's have a little bit of a think about pioneers or settlers for a second or two. On the next slide, we just begin to unpack how we might respond, because your reaction or your excitement over a new project or task can shed light on what God's calling you to be and to do. And if you are a pioneer type person, okay, here are some of the thoughts that might describe your character. Now, do you see yourself in this? That you enjoy change. Pioneers find the stress of doing new things exciting rather than threatening. They like it. Pioneers are committed to flexibility. If you try and stick them in a box, they sort of squirm away as much as possible. Pioneers, they're not frightened by instability. You know, some of us struggle with instability. Well, they don't mind about it. That's something that motivates them and encourages them. And pioneers, they reach out beyond their current experiences and their relationships. They want to discover new challenges and to work in those. There's another side to these dear old pioneers. They get bored and they get frustrated by the discipline needed to sustain what's already been established. It's not their agenda. They're not that fussed when it comes to trying to keep things running. And also, they love to make breakthroughs. And they're looking for the next new thing that we might explore together. Now, you can see, even just in that little list, there are some advantages in pioneers, but there are some glaring problems with pioneers as well. So let's think a little bit about whether you're a settler. Okay, does this describe you a little bit better? If you're a settler sort of person, then you're going to be committed to continuity, stability, and conservation. You know, we want to keep it running smooth, okay? Generally, those who are settlers, they prefer to grow and to develop plans rather than scrap something and start again, okay? They don't really like the idea of getting rid of anything. In fact, in my mind, I tend to think of settlers as hoarders. I don't know, how many of you are hoarders at home? Yeah? Yeah. When we moved, Karen and I, how many trips to the tip did we make? I think when I got to 20, I stopped counting. But, you know, there is that sort of idea. You don't want to scrap anything. Now, of course, sometimes, and particularly in church life, actually you do need to scrap something because you've got to start something new and it just doesn't fit together. But settlers struggle with that. They have a problem with that. The good thing about settlers is they are great at perseverance and they like seeing things through to the end. You know, they want to see everything done well and to make sure that it is. Settlers are the steady, solid backbone of any community, including communities of faith. There's another aspect to them. They also like to know what to expect, okay? They like to know what to expect, and they feel fulfilled when things run smoothly, when it all goes like clockwork. Now, of course, the other side of that is if they're put into a place of instability, that causes them great discomfort. They feel very jittery whenever there's sort of instability. Now, I want to say, you've probably noticed some real advantages in that list too, haven't you? But there are a few disadvantages as well. And the thing is that there is a tendency that there is this sort of us and them when it comes to these two categories. And the next slide says pioneers versus settlers. Because these two types, they don't always seem to fit together very well. Because the pioneer can get bored and restless if people are asking him to paint and decorate buildings once they're up, because it's not something they're that excited about. Maintenance is not their thing. And the thing is that the settlers get really uneasy at the thought of having to live in the wilderness. You know the image we've got in our pictures this morning of the Wild West? You know, the idea of actually having to keep moving and keep us, you know, rooting themselves every day to make a new camp, that just is not them. Without the comforts of home, it feels a bit of a threat. But you know exactly where I'm going to go with this, don't you? We need both. Because both pioneers and settlers are vital in any group of people, including church. Because without the pioneers, we're never going to discover the new frontier, the next thing that God is calling us to be. We won't reach out beyond what we already have and we've already achieved without pioneers. And pioneers are always looking beyond what we already have to what might lie ahead. The other side of that is without the settlers, we'd never consolidate and make secure what's already been achieved. And so they're vital if things are going to have stability, they're going to have an ongoing impact, and they're going to make a real difference in a locality and a situation. And I really like this little quote from Mike Breen. We did sort of mention that none of what I'm saying is new. I'm not clever enough, okay? But we're sort of taking some of our material from Mike Breen and his whole life shapes, thoughts and ideas. And in his little book about some of these thoughts, he had this lovely quote. And I wonder whether this has been true, because I've got a history with Minehead Baptist Church. You know, I grew up in Minehead Baptist Church. And from my experiences decades ago, I can relate to some of the tension in this quote. For here, let alone anywhere else. In some churches, the pioneers are driven away by settlers who do not want to explore anything new. In others, there is pain caused by pioneers who are not patient enough to wait for settlers to catch up with them. There needs to be a mutual respect and acceptance, for without both pioneers and settlers, the kingdom will not grow. I like that quote. I think it's really helpful in getting this in perspective. And I suppose the thinking that, or the word that went in my mind, was about being flexible as God's people and being flexible disciples. He wants us to be flexible as his followers. Because in all this thinking about introverts and extroverts and pioneers and settlers, we're not really referring to rigid categories. We can't be, can we? Because we're human beings. And we have a tendency to move in different directions. And each person falls between these two extremes. And they're going to move backwards and forwards across these lines, depending on the situation. Because different situations are going to move us up and down. The thing is, those who handle stress and pressure the best are being those people who move most freely between these different extremes. They're able to do that most naturally and most sort of comfortably in their lives. Testing comes into our individual lives and our life together, that we might be stretched out of our comfort zones into territory that we may not feel comfortable with. And I want to suggest that that's called growth. It's also called maturity. It's about deepening our walk with God. Because we don't grow by just staying in a comfortable place, do we? It's true that most of us grow most as individuals and even as Christians when we go through circumstances which stretch us. Sometimes painful things can be the times of greatest growth. But we do need those times of stretching and being challenged, partly so that we learn to depend on God more. Because he will take us through all of those circumstances. But that said, if you're more naturally a pioneer, if some of the things we thought about a bit earlier really sort of rang your bell this morning, then it's more likely that you've got a calling towards apostle, prophet or evangelist. And if your personality is more along the lines of what I described as a settler, then maybe it will be good for you to look seriously at God possibly calling you to be a pastor or a teacher. Because personality-wise, that's roughly where they would be. But remember, we're not talking about rigid boxes here. There's going to be movement and there's going to be times when we head in one direction or another. That's to give you another tool in thinking about this whole subject that we've been exploring over these last few weeks. But this morning we're thinking specifically about the role and calling of being a pastor. And each week during this series, we've been building up sides of a pentagon with these five different roles. And we've looked at prophet, an evangelist, and teacher. So let's unpack a bit more now of what it means to be a pastor. And the phrase that I've used here to summarize this is, it's somebody who leads and cares for people. That's my sort of short summary. And here's a biblical example. If you were to look up Barnabas in Acts chapter 15, you'd read a little story there of this early disciple called Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was one of the main characters in the early church, and he very often used to travel with Paul on his missionary journeys. And at one time, they took a guy called John Mark with them. And the problem was, John Mark failed at one point in what he was asked to do when he was working with Paul and Barnabas. And Paul, being Paul, who was fairly sort of hot-headed, fairly sort of, you know, black and white. How else could we describe Paul? He was fantastic, but, you know, he didn't suffer fools lightly, shall we say. Paul said, he's failed once, I don't want him to come. He's not coming with us again. Okay? Now, Barnabas was a pastor through and through. He had a really soft heart for people. And in fact, Barnabas and Paul end up having a disagreement over whether John Mark should continue with them or not. And they part company. Becomes that serious. And Barnabas goes along with John Mark, and Paul goes off and finds some more groupies, and his story continues. But it's interesting, because there you've got an example in Barnabas of someone who is a pastor through and through, that their heart is motivated by these people and by pastoral issues and situations. In fact, Barnabas actually means encourager, so it's not really very surprising that he wanted to be encouraging John Mark, whereas Paul just wanted the next frontier. He was out there. Come on, we can't trust this guy. Let's move on. But Barnabas wanted to support and encourage John Mark, and it causes that little disagreement. So there's one biblical example of someone who is a pastor. But of course, our greatest example is Jesus. And Jesus' example is just there through the whole of his ministry, isn't it? That Jesus is this fantastic lover of people. Whatever their situation, whatever their status, whatever their gender, wherever they have come from, Jesus was that supreme pastor in everything that he did. And we see it most notably, don't we, in how he cared for his disciples as they walked with him day by day. And in John chapter 10, Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. And isn't Jesus as the good shepherd one of the most powerful images that we hold on to as church and as Christians? That he is the good shepherd who's come to lead his people, to be alongside them day by day. I suppose it's fairly easy, really, this week to think of secular examples. You can think of counsellors or social workers, nurses. we're really talking about anybody, aren't we? In those sort of people-orientated, caregiving professions. And you've come across pastors, haven't you? In your life. People who like people and are alongside them. So here's the question then. What is a pastor? Andrew, could you stand up?
He has not warned me about
this. I said Andrew, and several Andrews looked really, really worried at that point.
Did you mean Andrew Palmer then?
No, it was you.
Darn.
Now, okay, is this the pastor? Okay, is this the pastor? Some of you? Maybe. Now, the interesting thing is, are we the only pastors? No, you can sit down now. Thank you very much for standing up.
It's worth asking, am I a pastor? We'll see.
I couldn't possibly comment.
Please do.
The problem, you see, is that historically in churches, we have thought about the pastor being the natural leader of the church or the appointed leader of a church. The pastor. You know, you almost want it to be sort of in bright lights or, you know, joined up with little bulbs. But it's very clear when you look at the passage that we're not talking about a single person or maybe a couple of people. We're actually talking about several people. It's a plural ministry. So pastors are not just people trained specially to be church leaders, but people who are gifted by God to care. And that's far less scary, isn't it, when we analyse it in that way? And many of you will know that I actually don't like being called a pastor in describing myself. Not because I'm not a pastor, but because it tends to perpetuate the myth that we only have one or two in one given church. And so for my overall title, I tend to use the word minister. Because in fact, you don't really come across it much in the New Testament. So it's nice and vague, and it's nice and sort of, you know, general. And it means you can understand it however you like. Because the thing is, we have many pastors in this church. So what's a pastor like? We picked up a few thoughts already, haven't we? But here are some common characteristics. A pastor is going to be one who shepherds God's people. Could be shepherding a very small group, could be shepherding a larger group, but it doesn't really matter. It's just someone who displays that sort of character. A pastor is one who cares for others with a tender heart. That's who they are. A pastor is one who sees needs, provides comfort, and encourages other people. You can probably start thinking of a few pastors now, can't you? Thing is, by their nature, pastors tend to spend most of their time with other Christians because they're the ones they're wanting to care and look after and support. Pastors can easily empathise with other people, and they exhibit lots of patience. That's the one where maybe I fall down, but never mind. Okay. Pastors generally enjoy one-to-one chats. It's about those individuals, and they really enjoy showing hospitality, because they love to serve. They get burdened by other people's problems And they have a knack of speaking the truth in love, speaking that into their lives. And they're good listeners, and they're easy to talk to. Other people recognize it, and they're able to share their innermost feelings with them. Now, that's quite a list, isn't it? Now, I want to suggest that not all pastors display all those characteristics, but they're all indicators of that calling that God places on our lives. Now, it's really interesting when you think about these sort of ideas, because this one's easy, isn't it? Because on one level, we recognize there's more than one pastor. That's an easy ministry role from Ephesians to grasp hold of. Some of us struggle a little bit with some of the other ones being for all Christians, because we're not quite so used to thinking about it in those terms. But the question for this morning is this. Oh, it should be the other way around, shouldn't it? Are you a pastor? Are any of these descriptions we've just shared together stirring in your heart? You say, that's something of me. Is this the sort of person you are and the priorities that really motivate you? If so, then perhaps pastor is your main calling in serving God and serving his church. Have a think about it. There's one more to come, okay? If you haven't felt stirred in your heart yet, as we've looked at pastor and teacher and prophet and evangelist, there's one to come, all right? But you've got to wait a couple of weeks until we get onto that one. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the ministry of pastors. I thank you, Lord, for all of those who have pastored me, whether they've been the official person in charge of churches or whether they've just been the friend who's been alongside me when it's been tough. Somebody who's listened when I've been struggling. Somebody who's gone out of their way to love and to care when I've needed it. I thank you, Lord, for all of those myriad of people who've had that calling of being a pastor on their lives, whether they recognized it or not. But I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us in our church and all of those who have this calling to be affirmed and encouraged, to feel free and supported, to show your love and your care as we live together as your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd like to leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.